Well, it started off pretty good today, but it ain't. It kind of went downhill since then. But, you know, when a guy's in a house by himself and, for any period of time, he gets, used to doing things that, his spouse used to do. And that's, my situation, because it's going on, it will be 9 years in a month or so. And, so I've been, putting out my scraps to the animals because, evidently I'm about the only one around there that's doing it. I'm getting all kinds of animals, I think, but I think, they have to go through the armadillos to get to me. Cause my yard is beginning to look like it's plowed almost again. But, yeah, I went to dump some of my scraps out today, and I had it in bags, and I was just going to dump the bags in the, I've got a little box there behind my, septic tank where the, you can get into my septic tank and clean the thing out if you ever need to, which I've never had to do really, but I have had the lid out of it a time or two to look at it and to make sure that everything's still working right. And, but I've been throwing my peach pits in there, and I wound up with two or three peach trees in my hole, and Troy came and got them. So I said, well, I got the hole kind of empty there, and none of that's going into my septic tank. It's just going to where you could get it into the septic tank. And I grabbed up my bags and swung them off of the bar. And when I did that, the bottom came out of one. There I had been a great mess. And so there wasn't any use to slow down, so I made it on through the back door and got on the back porch, and I could wash the rest of it out with a hose pipe pretty good, but I had to mop three rooms in order to get it squared away. So here we are. Well, thank you, Lord, that we're here. Turn with me back to John 8. So I guess Ronnie's going to get another little dose of the...
Hey, that's all right. More you listen to it. And I've heard things like I've never heard them before. Almost.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
It can happen again.
But this is a speech between the scribes and the Pharisees, or whoever the Pharisees and the unbelieving Jews in the temple. This was after they had, left and spent the night somewhere else. And, it said that Jesus spent the night in the Mount of Olives. And so whenever they got back together, well, you remember the story that the Jews came back with a woman they called in adultery, so to speak. And, so they wanted to try to get something on Jesus. They really couldn't realize who they were talking with, or I think they wouldn't have probably might have not have tried that. And yet, with somebody that even knows the hairs on your head, you're not going to win there. And,
yeah, it's kind of futile.
So this thing went on from verse 21 and it goes all the way down through, verse, I guess, 56 or 58. And, in verse 8, there, and it's a back and forth deal. And then they get together and they couldn't make headway upon Jesus with the, because they wanted him to judge the woman. And he said, he had already said, I judge nobody, no man. You know, I'm not here to judge.
This time.
But, or he said, well, I don't judge. And he wasn't there to judge. So he made that plain. And, he told them, I go where you cannot come. You're not able to go. You don't have what it takes to go where I can go. And then in verse 23, and then it said, and Jesus said unto them, we are from beneath. Ye are from beneath, and I am from above. Ye are of this world, and I am not of this world. And this is where we left off last week. Lifestyle. And so that to me was a very special thing that he said, because he was telling them for sure that his home or his house or his place of being had not been here all this time, but that he had been sent. And the Father had sent him, and he's there on the charge of the Father. The Father had asked him to do this aeons ago, and he did. He said he would, and he did. And so he was talking about that, told them guys they were from the earth. They were made out of dust. And that was... You know, 1 Corinthians 15:47, and the place, and he says, I am from above, or out of the above, and out there was the word ek,
out from
above. And he said, therefore, ye are of this world and I am not of this world. So let's get started with our, normal study. And of course, I've named this study salvation because Christ Jesus is salvation. There's no doubt about that. And if you're going to have hope of being part of his body or being with him, certainly you're going to have to understand more than these guys did.
Yeah.
Because it was, he made his story truth, and he made his story, forceful to a point. And he made it where it could be understood by just almost anybody if they had any kind of understanding at all. So verse 24 says this, I say therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, full stop. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. And certainly, that is something that's plain enough that most people can understand, but if you're a non-believer, which these persons were. And they were looking at their own situation too. And it says, I said, therefore, because of this unto you, that you shall die in your sins. So there was nothing that should not have been a problem for them, but it was. Where it says, if you believe not that I am he, and there's a note here that was in the companion side of the Bible, says there is no he for the word, no he in the Greek word. There is no Greek word for he. See, that you should die in your sins. And so I thought that was kind of unusual too, because they were, you know, it seems like the Koine Greek is it's pretty pointed and pretty plain and pretty clear. And they were using, I guess, the ordinary Greek, because it's called the Koine, and it, I always seemed to think it was kind of like the English and those kind of words, because, you know, it says we speak English, but we don't speak the English English. And so we speak as best we can do is Southern English, which is sometimes, for some, it might be hard to be understood, because if you're looking at their vehicles, you know, they call different parts of their vehicles different things, like a bonnet and all this stuff, and which would really confuse me pretty greatly, because we get to verse 25. So verse 25 says this. Then said they unto him, okay, this is those that he is in connection with there in the part of the temple that's called, the Women's Treasury, I believe is what it was called. I'm not sure why that was, looked at that way, but I guess it was. And so that's where they had come in, got together, and that probably a pretty good number of people there by this time of the day. And it says, then they said unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto him, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. And the beginning of this is from verse 12 through verse 20. And also, there's another statement in here that kind of blew my mind a little bit. And it says, there is no from in the Greek for the word from. So he and from is not Greek words. So I don't know how they worked around that, but it said Jesus was before all things and will be the all in all in eternity. And so I made a little note here in my notes that said, well, we understand that there's nothing new under the sun. So I don't know how they worked that out, but they evidently, I don't think it confused them all that much, is not to have a word for another word, with all this going on here. And in verse 26, it says, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world these things which I have heard of him. So, he was telling them things that he knew and that they were able to judge him on what he was saying there, but it wasn't that he was there to judge them for what they believed. And, in that situation, there's speak, or he says, I have many things to say or to speak, the word lego, to say and to judge of you full stop. But he says, he that sent me is true. And I speak. In the Greek is leleo, and say to the world, these things which I have heard of him from beside, and that word beside there is para, for beside him, because where he had been beside the Father, and he had a throne beside the Father, and so he could dwell in that situation, and whatever things that needed to be taken care of, they could take care of it, as the two is normally one in that situation, which I have heard of him. As one within their presence or his presence or the presence of the Father that sent the Son, he knew everything that he needed was there. So, that was another thing that seemed like it was not a big deal to people who are believers, but to those that aren't believers, haven't been believers very long, it sometimes is pretty tough, because looking or hearing things that you haven't seen or don't know exactly how they work, and if you have no belief in what are you saying anyway, then you're also coming out in the woods on your own anyway at that point. So, it said they understood not, verse 27. So it just goes verse by verse of what was being said, what was being looked at, what was being heard, and the situation of the go-betweens, from one part of this thing to the other. And he said, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father, because what he had said just didn't register. Well, you're not God's son, so you can't speak for him. So that was the end of the story for them. And I could see that. I could understand that, because somebody that doesn't believe, he says, I am God's son. Well, that just kills it right there, because you have nothing else but what he's saying to go by. But it should be plain, because they had the Hebrew Bible. Of the Hebrew.
And they also found the works of the miracles.
Yeah. And they were supposedly keeping the law, whether they were or not.
Evidently
they weren't, because he is telling them, you're still in your sins, you know.
Yep.
All these things that he's talking about, he says, well, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Verse 28 says, then said Jesus unto them. Well, here You know, the story goes from one group to Christ and then back. And then Jesus speaks and tells them, trying to confirm this thing for them that they might be able to see it. And it just goes from one group to the other group, back and forth on verse 28 here. Then Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So he is already talking about in verse 28 there, it says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man. Well, did they understand that it all lifted up there? It says, note the complex ellipses of appendage 6. Of myself, I do nothing nor speak, but according to Apo, appendix 104:4, have taught. I speak and give my doctrine. And it goes back to the doctrine word, back to chapter 7, verse 16. So he had a doctrine of his own that he was putting forth, but he says, I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me. His Father teaching him gave him a doctrine, a way of speaking, a flow of language for them to understand this. This is what he's trying to do. This is all he's trying to do in this whole situation here, there, between him and the ones that were there listening. And they were, I'd say probably maybe 60 or better there at that point in time of doing that. So you see he wasn't just making stuff up as he went along, as these Jews evidently thought he was doing, because they couldn't believe. Ain't nobody can believe that. That's the way they're looking at it. If we can't understand it, what else can we? We're wasting our time.
Probably.
Yeah, we're just wasting our time here. Well, so in the notes there, it was pretty plain that he now, you know, he has his own doctrine, so he knows what he's wanting to say, and he's wanting to know how far he can go to get it to where they can understand it. So let's get to verse 29. He says, and he that sent me is with me. Full stop. Well, I couldn't understand that either, because they can't see nobody else there. There's nobody with him. It's like he's in a world by himself, because these other guys are just, they're just not there, you know. He's talking about, association and companionship here in 29. He that sent me is with me. The word, Greek word, meta. And it's 104 X, XI 11 2. Association in companionship. The Father hath not left me alone. So you got to go all the way to appendage 174. Way on in the understanding of all this stuff that's been laid out there. Because we're going from appendix 104 to appendix 174-4. For I do always those things that please him. And if you look that up, it's app 6. And it's proper batten or bat on. So he has gone from just a very part of the grammar that's not, and everybody should know about, with association and companionship, to something that was strictly a part of the doctrine that he had indwelled in Christ. Because as one does anything, the other is involved in the same thing. So even at the beginning of this, they should have understood that he says, I'm not alone. So if he's not alone, if you look around and still not see anybody, well, then you got a problem. And that's basically their problem, because the further you get into their doctrine of doing things and the way they do things, the Father and the Son, it gets deeper and deeper. Because they are really the rulers of this dimension that we live in. And he's trying to tell them that with all these words that they just truly, really can't fathom very well. And it says, I do always those things that please my Father. Him. And he says, and as he spoke these words, many believed on him. So he was getting through to some of the crowd that were there. At this point, there are people now that were beginning to get their eyes open a little bit. They're not looking at my place and my seat or my stature of where I'm sitting within this group that I'm sitting here with, trying to tell them something that they can't and don't believe. But there's some there that were. So evidently he was getting through to some. He said, and he speak these words, the things, and many believed on him. And to realize that was a thrill to me to see it be put into writ there. And so it says again, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. So he is, he's seeing now that he's got two different factions going here. The believers, some believed, some didn't. Well, what's new there? There ain't nothing new there. But the fact is, he knew the difference. And by him knowing the difference, then he could talk to them in the way that he felt like he was getting somewhere here, I think. Verse 31. To the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Full stop. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, how did that go over? To them, it probably was somewhat of a miracle, but to the unbelievers, it didn't make any difference to them. They still
don't know.
Yeah. You got a lot of words, guy. Just keep talking. And then it says, they answered him. So they felt like they could come up with some sort of a deal, like the guys that come in with a woman that they said they caught in adultery. They said, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. Full stop. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? So they said, if we've never been in bondage, how can you make us free? That is their stance. That, they're
that makes you wonder if they really knew their own history, too.
Yeah, okay.
They've been in bondage a bunch of times.
They can't see that because they were in bondage from the word go. Okay, the rest of verse 30.
They were currently under Roman rule too, weren't
they? Yeah, right. And, yeah, they already had enmity between them and the other things.
They're not been watching the news very
good. Oh, wow. The 31 says, which believe him, if you continue in my word, or the things, then you are my disciples indeed. And then verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make or set you free. And he says, it's my words is going to set you free. Salvation is going to be free, and I can get it. But now they didn't understand that. That would not have rung a bell for them at all, but.
See, they didn't realize how sinful they were and that they were under the bondage of sin.
Yeah.
They had no clue.
Yeah. Well, he's told them in every third or fourth verse, he's told them that you're.
That's what we understand into this. I have three times he said the same thing.
So. Yeah, right. And in verse 33, it says, they answered him, you know, and we be of Abraham's seed, we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that you can make us free? Verse 34. It said Jesus answered them. Well, verily, verily. Verse 34. I say unto you, this came forth, this manifest misrepresentation of the truth. I guess that came from the notes there. Calls forth by the manifest misrepresentation of the truth. And this is the 12th occurrence of the misrepresentation of the truth. Whosoever, everyone who committeth, doeth or practice sin. Not a single act, but a life of sin itself. Same as sin in verse 21, where he started. When he first started out, he says, you know, in 21, I go my way and you shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. Well, this is what's still going on. Even in 13 verses down the road. Verily, verily, I say unto you, and this came from the misrepresentation of the truth, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of that sin. Everyone who doeth not sin, not a single act, but a life of sin itself. In verse 35, it says, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. And I thought that was great too. You know, when you're telling somebody that you're staying with somebody or you're living with somebody or that your abode is with the Father, with your Father, well, generally speaking, you have just as much leeway as the Father does going and coming and doing. And he says, you know, this misrepresentation here, they were never in bondage to any man. And so Jesus said, well, this comes from the manifest misrepresentation of what you call sin. Everyone who does it, not a single act, but a life of sin itself, and the servant or a bond servant in that household. Now, abideth not in the house forever. He's sooner or later, he's going to serve his servitude. He's going to become a free person, evidently, because they had a way of doing this. And there's a funny name here. He abideth not in the house. He, a bond servant, is but of the owner's investment. So therefore, because of this, he may be sold or manumitted. Now, what does manumitted mean? I didn't go and look at it. I meant to in the telephone rung or something. I never did get back to that. But it's at 151, Roman numeral 2, AII 4A. So it must be down in the deal pretty good a little bit if it's in Appendix 150 and goes that far. He says, but the son who abides, he can be there forever. This is dad's place. He'll probably inherit his dad's place. But a bond servant would be a different situation. See, so.
Chico said manumitted refers to the act of a slave owner voluntarily releasing a person from slavery or bondage.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I figured it was something like that, but yeah. I didn't get it, but going back and look at it.
Yeah, the process is called manumission.
Yeah. So, they had a way of, I know they had a way of doing it because a lot of people, or some people had asked Paul,
yeah,
what price did you pay for your freedom? And he said, I'll. Yeah. So I understood that there was some way there that went, but I'd never seen the word put in.
Thanks, Chico.
Put in there. So that's great. It says, if the son therefore shall make you free, or because of this shall make you free, or shall loose you from your sins, then you will be free indeed, according to 1 Timothy 6:19 and verse 36. So, and so I put in 36, therefore was already in there for that same exact thing because of this. If the Son, because of this, he can make you free. If he and the Father got together and said, okay, we'll let you go. You'd be free. Verse 37 says this, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me. Oh man, what a problem. Because my words have no place in you. You just can't hear what you hear. You can't understand what you're hearing. And how great it is that when it comes to a point between the Holy Spirit and the Son of God, that they can make those two join within a person to become salvation.
And they weren't, as long as they couldn't believe, they were never gonna.
They would.
They would knock their guard down
long enough. Yeah.
But now Nicodemus did, and others did.
Yeah.
It was dependent upon the person.
Because my word hath no place, no foundation, or entrance. You just don't have a door or no way to get there without what had been provided to you. And certainly that provision was something beyond anything they got up. It's just beyond anything they could ever understand. But yet, Christ is taking this time in the temple of God now with a group of people there that should know more than they know about what they have been left with.
Yeah.
And they just would accept it. This would believe. Okay. Verse 38 says this, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Full stop. And you do that which you have seen with your Father. Okay, so Jesus saying, I speak that which I have seen with my Father. Full stop. It's the Father and the Son, it's just really inseparable, and I don't think they can understand even that.
Well, they understood him saying it good enough to where they wanted to kill him for blasphemy.
Well, yeah.
But I don't think they really believed that it was true. They just believed that he said it.
And he said, and you do that which you have with your father. So what he learned from his father and what they learned from their father was altogether two different situations, two different things. They just could not fathom that it would be the same situation. And, they had an answer for that. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Well, Jesus didn't let that go. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. So here was one verse of scripture that both of them had words back and forth in it. One verse of scripture. In 38. And then in 39, then they come back with another and said, they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said, if you're Abraham's children, you do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God or my father. Same, it would be the same thing. This did not Abraham. But you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Abraham didn't hear that of God. But he did hear of Jehovah.
Yeah, Abraham heard what God wanted him to say. Nobody wanted to kill him for that.
Right. But you see, I think this was another thing that was pretty important to them, because when they started calling on Abraham's name, then they were trying to get the discourse in there to show that, and they went on to say, well, you guys couldn't have known Abraham because you told Jesus, you couldn't have known Abraham because you're not 50 years old. Well, there's another situation that they didn't know. They had always been told about the Immaculate Conception, but they could not believe it.
And they certainly didn't want to believe he was the guy.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Even though he knew the works.
Yeah. He had all the instruments to do it with, and they couldn't get anything on him. He always had an answer for all their questions, but yet they couldn't believe them. And so, therefore, they just stupefied. The more he went, the more stupider they got. In that situation. Okay. You seek to kill me. In verse 40. Okay. In 41 it says this. You do the deeds of your father. Then they said unto him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. So they said, oh.
Man,
Jesus said to them in verse 42, "If God were your Father, you would love me, full stop. For I proceed forth and come from God, neither come I of myself, but he sent me."
Ooh. We're getting down the rough talk now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. "If God were your Father, you would love me."
Well, the Father was the Son. Yeah.
Yeah, he couldn't see. He couldn't see no difference. There wouldn't be no difference between the two. So the question is, why do you not understand my speech? And that is, and they, whoever put the rest of the stuff here in the Bible, all of the little jots and tittles in this part of the Word of God, they did put a question mark there. Why do you not understand what I'm saying?
Because they were, like Peter says, if they were willingly ignorant.
Even because you cannot hear my words. It's just like, it was just like they were deaf. Death. And he says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own," full stop. "For he is a liar, and he's the father of it." There was no lie in the garden at that time. And when the devil came in, when Satan came in, the first things out of his mouth were beginning lies.
Yep.
Were the lies that he was wanting to get into this thing and corrupt everybody else.
Yea, have God sinned?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hath God sinned? And then things started happening in that situation. Okay. "If you were Abraham's seed, you would do the works of Abraham. You seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my words. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." He was the murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. "Which of you convince me of sin?" Jesus said. "Which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? Well, we're not going to get that far down tonight because I'm out of time, and I guess this is a pretty good place to quit because we haven't made very much progress. We just got a few believers. Don't know how many. But the rest of them didn't. I'm not sure how many were there. But the fact is, he did get some to believe, but in verse 45, the question was asked again in 46. And so we'll stop there, and I'll put a mark here where I know where to start again. But there was a few verses of scriptures that went on here. I believe it was, maybe from 42 through 47. Yeah, let me read you verse 47. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. Verse 42 through verse 47 was five or six verses there that Jesus spoke to them and they didn't cut him off anywhere in those five or six verses of scripture. And it says in verse 48, then answered the Jews. That's a good place to start back.
Yeah.
Because we're going to have to go through verse 59.
So it's a big back and forth.
Again, yeah. So the back and forth is still going. So we're going to go 11 more verses before we get through this part of this understanding here of the back and forth that they had. And, when we get down through 59, then we're going to go back to the well of Siloam, because when he leaves there, he's going to go back there and he's going to go back to where he started, where they started with him before, to accuse him for all this stuff. When he spits on the ground and he makes the clay, and puts them in the guy's eyes, because he can't see the water coming down into the pool. So I don't know why he's there, because all he could hear is the waters. He couldn't see the water. If there wasn't somebody there to help him, he was kind of like the man that had been there for 38 years.
Yeah, just can't run anybody else.
And so Jesus been over and did this. I don't know how he understood that that was going on. When he took the clay away from his eyes, then he could see again. And so this was done on the Sabbath day too. So bless his heart. Yeah, you know, with all this, you got only a few believers, and the rest of them still were, he broke the law. He can't do that on the Sabbath day.
Yeah.
He, not even not even give somebody sight that had been born blind.
Yeah.
And like the man that couldn't walk, he couldn't get in the poop. Well, I don't know if this man, if that appealed to him or could have been part of his situation too, but that's a good place to stop. We'll start again with that and finish it up. But I didn't think we'd get that far, but we did. So here we are. Some believed, which were a few, and the rest didn't. Ever how many they were there, and we don't really fully for sure know. But these folks just aren't going to believe that salvation was in their presence. They didn't make any difference what was said. They just wasn't going to believe it. He was him, that man.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I don't know what they were looking for, but evidently it didn't fit their description of what we could call that man, because they didn't accept what that man said. Wouldn't make any difference what he said. It was just like they were deaf and couldn't hear.
Yep.
And one man at the pool, he couldn't walk because he was lame. Another man at the pool didn't see. So he had to have somebody to lead him as to where he went. And then all these people were not at the pool. They certainly didn't believe what they were seeing and hearing. And they just wasn't going to believe it, because they were there to try to destroy the creator of this world they were on. And it seems so pitiful that people are still that way. They go and go and go and do and do and do. And they still can't thank God for even what their breath they got, or what the water that keeps them alive, or anything to that sort. It's just like, it's not necessary that we have to say anything about that, because that's a given gift. Well, the gift that has been given without expectation of anything becoming of it is something that people just can't still understand, even almost 7,000 years later. And we see that God says on the seventh day he rested. Well, his son's doing the work now. And he is resting. But there'll be a day that he won't rest. And so there'll be a new beginning. Not only the Father, but the Son with his body. Be there to be that. Praise the Lord for that. And thank you for being with me tonight. The understanding of all this is hard now that I went through this thing with myself and what I believed and had to come to an abrupt stop and say, oh, wait a minute. Uh-oh. more than I can ever repay.
Amen to that.
To this one man.
We all do.
Sure we do.
Yeah.
Why can't everybody do that? Well, I just can't do it. Yeah. Satan's still here. He's still working.
Yeah. Amen. Good stuff, Pop.